Now Thomas, one of the 12, who was called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Jesus cometh, the doors being shut, and said, "Peace be to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put in thy finger hither, and see my hands, and bring hither thy hand, and put it into my side. Be not unbelieving, faithless, but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Because thou hast seen me, Thomas, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and have believed." Many other signs also did Jesus in the sight of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and the Holy Ghost, amen. So today, just go over there, that'll be fine. Just go over there on the side, right? Yeah, just over there is good. So today is the Low Sunday, and now in modern church, they call this Sunday Mercy Sunday, and the devotion of the Divine Mercy is brought forth this day. But for 2,000 years, we considered another virtue, the one upon which our entire faith is built. And that is the virtue of faith. We're going to say our Lord, Saint John, when he writes his epistle, he says, "Dearly beloved, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." And it's interesting, in our times, the world is more powerful than it ever has been. The world has always been evil. The world has always hated God. The world has always been the enemy of our Holy Mother, the Church. It has always been the enemy of virtue, of purity. It has always been the enemy of honesty. It has always been the enemy of prudence, of justice, of temperance, and fortitude, of faith, and hope, and charity. It will always be the enemy of these things. So many attacks of the world. We got to fit in with everybody. Bishop Sheen said in the late 60s, he said, "We will see now the increasing temptation of the church. Now the church must get along with the world. And more you will see the church become more and more like unto the world. And this temptation shall destroy countless souls." It's a temptation of the world. We know there are three temptations: the world, the flesh, and the devil. We see so easily the temptation of the flesh, being dragged down to impurity and drunkenness and weakness of the flesh, and the temptation of the devil, working inside, trying to develop a deep pride inside of us, and trying to make especially viciousness of tongue, and the viciousness of the assault, and the viciousness of subtle lies. But then there is the world. When you consider the world, what are the two hallmarks of the world? There are two great hallmarks of the world, and one of them is the flesh, and the other one is the devil. So when we receive the temptation of the world, it brings with it the flesh, it brings with it the devil. Where do you go for impurity? You go to the world. You go where the city is. You go to the inner city. You go where the people are. And there you find drugs. And there you find impurity. There you find broken homes. There you find all manner of bad example and sin. And the devil, he is always in the world. We like his movies. We like his stories. We like his news reports. We like what the devil's lies. So the world, in fact, is a temptation by which we want to get along with the people outside of us. We don't want to be bad. We don't want to be saints. We want to just get along. Therefore we go to the world that is impure. But they're not all prostitutes. The prostitutes are too bad. That lies, but doesn't lie every day and always. Just lies sometimes, just when needed. The world is the flesh light, and the world is the devil light. The devil not so bad, and the flesh not as bad as it could be. And that's the world. Most souls go to hell through the temptation of the world. Most priests go to hell because of the temptation of the world. Most bishops go to hell because of the temptation of the world. And most popes go to hell because of the temptation of the world. It is the sin of Pilate, who wanted to just get along. And we say we want to stop impurity. We want to stop drunkenness. We want to stop brawls and fighting. We want to stop all manner of sin. But how are we going to do it? We're going to be balanced. We're going to find another way. And then, of course, if you commit all these sins on this day of faith, which is called Low Sunday in English, the Dominican Albis in Latin, on the Missal it's called White Sunday, because on this day, all the catechumens who were baptized last Sunday on Easter, they wore white garments all this week. Today they come to church in their white garments and they remove their white garments. And the priest instructs them, you put on the white garment of a pure faith. You put on the white garment of truth last Sunday at Easter. Today, do not remove the garment, but rather let the garment go inside of your heart. Let the garment go inside of your soul and carry the garment out into the world. That's what we're supposed to do on the Dominican Albis, the White Sunday, or we say Low Sunday in English. And now we begin the Easter season. It is a day of faith. And we are reminded of St. Thomas, the Apostle, who on this day, 8 days after the resurrection, still did not believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He was very moral. He would never be impure. He would never lie. He had left behind all his sins. He only had one problem. He didn't believe. He was a pretty good guy, Thomas. But he did not believe on this morning. And he was a bishop. He was a bishop of the church. Very moral. But he did not believe. And the Lord said to him on this day, Thomas, I am not impressed with your morality. I am not impressed that you left behind the life of sin. You do not believe. And for this reason, you cannot be a bishop in my church. For this reason, you cannot continue forward bringing souls to heaven. And whoever follows you in your faithlessness will not go to heaven. Therefore, on this day, our Lord appeared to all the 12 apostles, and Thomas was with them. He did not come to see the 11 apostles. Or rather, the 11 apostles, because Judas was dead and in hell. He did not come to see the other 10 apostles. He came to see only Thomas. And when he arrived through the doors still being shut, he said, Thomas, come forth. Put your hands into the place of the nails. Put your hands into the side where you saw me pierced with a lance. You were there. And be not faithless, be not unbelieving, but believing. And then Thomas said what Catholics are asked to do in imitation of Thomas at the canon of the Mass. Dominus meus et Deus meus. My Lord and my God. And I was taught as a little child, and whenever the priest raises the host in the air, you quietly say in the pew, my Lord and my God. And when he raises the chalice in the air, you say, my Lord and my God. And you repeat the words that Thomas said 2,000 years ago. Be not unbelieving, but believing. I was a priest in India and used to say Mass in Madras at a chapel that is far as from here to the road, from the place where St. Thomas was martyred in Little Mount in Madras, India. They call it the city of Chennai now, a small town of about 12 million people. And in that city, which is built around St. Thomas, it's built around that place where Thomas died. Madras means monastery, the place where Thomas was buried, the place where Thomas preached, the place where Thomas followed, converted the king of Madras. And in that place, he went into a cave one day, and he was there in the cave praying, where he lived for 5 years, a cave that's about one half the size of this tent. And inside of that cave, he was praying, and a priest came to kill him, a Hindu priest, and they came with a spear to kill him. And when Thomas, it was not yet the time of his martyrdom, and Thomas, seeing the man, jumped up, and the cave was at the very top of a little mount. The little mount is really called Little Mount because it's only about 20 feet tall, about maybe 20 feet tall, so it's a little mount. And he was at the top of that little mount in that little cave. He looked at him and he jumped out of the cave. So that when he arrived at the cave 2,000 years ago, there was only one entrance, but now there are two. Because on that day, he put his hand on a rock and he was praying and he stood up. He put his right hand on a rock. That rock was about this big 2,000 years ago. Now that rock is about four times bigger. The rock continues to grow. It has grown for 2,000 years and it continues to grow. His hand went into the rock and his handprint in the rock. He stood up and then he ran to the cave and he put his left hand up and his hand went into the rock and his left hand stayed the same size 2,000 years now than it was 2,000 years ago. And then he jumped out of the cave and the cave opened and he escaped. When he was martyred a couple years later, he was killed in the same cave. He was hit with a spear, but this time he did not run to escape. And then the murderer ran away. And then he bled to a mile, walking the same distance Christ walked, the way of the cross. He went to a place called Big Mount, where they have the airport now, just a mile away. And he went to the top of the place and he embraced the cross that he had carved. He was a mason, a stonemason. And he carved a cross, and he bled to death on that cross, and he preached until he died about the glory of the cross. And then they built a monastery over that place. But St. Thomas, when we walk into that cave, it says, here are impressed the hands. You can touch the place of the hands that prove that Jesus Christ is God. Here is the imprint of the hands that proves our faith. That hand was put into the side of our Lord Jesus Christ. This hand of Thomas on the other side of the world touched a rock. And it impressed the rock. And the rock continues to grow. We are reminded, and we must be reminded in every age, there is only one thing that defeats impurity. Only one thing that defeats the greed and lies and defeats all problems in the world and all the attacks of the devil, the flesh, and the world. And that is our faith. And St. John, speaking to many people that had turned away from God in his old age, said, there is one thing that overcometh the world, our faith. And when he says there is one thing that overcometh the world, it means there are not two things. There isn't another thing that overcomes the world. There is only one thing that overcomes the world, and that is our faith. 100 years ago, a little more than that, the Blessed Virgin Mary appeared at Fatima and said, if you're going to overcome the world, I'm going to require faith of you. And that means the Pope must consecrate Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, that Russia will spread her errors throughout the world. And in order to conquer Russia, the Holy Father, in union with the bishops, must consecrate Russia to the Immaculate Heart. But the popes of the 20th century thought they knew better than the Blessed Virgin Mary, though they said that they believed in her. But she's in heaven. We're on earth, living in the real world. And we know how to deal with the worlds. This is not wise to single out Russia. It's not wise to do that. And so they tried to find another way. And it didn't work. There's an anti-abortion movement. You may have heard of abortion. And there are people that stand in front of clinics. And there are people who say, try to vote anti-abortion candidates. And they try to fight against abortion laws. And they have failed. Abortion has increased throughout the entire world since 1973. It increases to this day. Now there are countless abortions because most people have abortions through abortion pills. And there are millions of abortions that are not counted. Millions and millions. Whoever takes an abortion pill, which is called a contraception pill, aborts babies. On the day of judgment, you will find out how many babies you aborted. It may be 30. It may be 50. And there are so many aborted babies, millions of them. The anti-abortion movement does not stop abortion. The pro-Trump movement does not stop abortion, does not stop communism. The conservative movement does not cover the problems in the Catholic Church. We're going to be half Catholic and be approved, and then we're going to slowly become three-quarters Catholic. Then we're going to become 100% Catholic. It has failed. There is only one thing that overcomes the world. Fides Nostra, says St. Paul. Only one thing. Our faith overcomes the world and nothing else. We want to have moral families. Let's be moral first, and then we'll believe in Jesus later. If that was the case, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was on the cross, would have told Didymus, Didymus, you say you want me to remember me. Remember you when I come into my kingdom. Let me give you a suggestion. Stop cussing. Because today you're cursing, and you are cursing me. Let me give you another suggestion. Stop stealing. And another suggestion. Stop being impure. And why don't you change your life? You're hanging on a cross and you're embarrassing me because you're hanging on a cross because you should hang on a cross because you're a crook. When you overcome your crookedness, come back. It's like the woman that forgives her husband. Prove to me. Prove to me that you've changed, and then I'll forgive you. Let me see some evidence. But the Lord Jesus Christ didn't do that. He heard Didymus say that he believed in our Lord Jesus Christ. And he heard Didymus say that he believed in his kingdom. And that is why St. Augustine says these words 1,600 years ago. He believed unto justice. That's what the church used to teach. The good thief believed unto justice. What made him overcome his sins? The belief unto justice. Many a man is sorry because he cheated on his wife. But he's not sorry because he offended God. He's sorry because he got caught. He's not sorry because he wants to do what's right before God. He's sorry because he wants his peaceful life back. And when he got caught cheating on his wife, his life isn't peaceful anymore. He doesn't like that. He wants her to forgive him, and he wants to live in peace with her again. But he's not sorry because he sinned against God. He's not sorry because he believes in God. This sorrow does not bring forgiveness. The sorrow that brings forgiveness is a sorrow that comes from faith. And the sorrow that conquers impurity is a sorrow that's built on faith. And the sorrow that overcomes greed is a sorrow that's built on faith. This is why the Holy Roman Church teaches you cannot go to confession unless you're baptized. Everybody needs confession. The local Jews down the street need confession. The Hindus need confession. The atheists need confession. All the people working in Hollywood need confession. But we don't give them confession. We say, first of all, you must accept the faith. First of all, you must believe that our Lord Jesus Christ is true God and true man, that he is the second person of the Blessed Trinity who died on the cross for our sins. You must first believe that. You must then profess that faith. Then you can go to confession for your impurity. Then you can go to confession for your greed. And then we can lay the foundations to overcome these sins. But what has happened in our world today? We no longer believe that faith is what conquers the Democrats.
We don't believe that faith is what conquers the communists, or is what conquers impurity, or what conquers abortion. Look at the anti-abortion movement. It has failed, and it will continue to fail so long as it is not built on faith, and not any faith. But the faith that comes to us from God, the supernatural faith of the Holy Roman Catholic Church. And hence our missionaries of the past, when they came to Africa, when they came to India, when they came to our ancestors in Europe, when they came, they were pagans, they were eating their babies, they were worshiping false gods. Impurity was extremely prevalent everywhere. They didn't stay in marriages. And what do they say to them? You must believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is truly God and truly man and died on the cross for your sins. You must enter His holy church, and then we will fix your marriages. We will stop the horrible things that you are doing. But if you do not accept the true faith, the horrible things will not come to an end. This Sunday, Dominican Albis, Low Sunday, the first Sunday after Easter, is a Sunday of faith. That's what it is. When the Divine Mercy devotion was invented 100 years ago, or a little less than that, the Holy Roman Church condemned it twice because of the fact that it is not focused on the Holy Faith. It's not built on the Holy Faith. It doesn't show the absolute necessity of the Holy Sacrament of Confession. If you're a Catholic, you can go to confession. It doesn't focus sufficiently on the repentance and amendment of life. And it's a replacement of the Holy Rosary and a replacement of the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. It's not from God. And that's why the church condemned it twice before Vatican II. Now it comes forth. We are all approaching Divine Mercy and Mercy Sunday. Today is considered Mercy Sunday. And yet on this Sunday, the Lord converted Thomas. And the Lord made Thomas into a saint. When Thomas went to India, the Indians said of Thomas, "I have never seen such strong faith in anyone. And no one can have the faith of Thomas. No one can have the strength of Thomas. He had such a strong faith." And Augustine tells us about Thomas. He said, "St. Thomas, on this day of Low Sunday, Thomas, I thank thee for thy unbelief," says St. Augustine, "because thy unbelief takes away my unbelief. You prove beyond the shadow of a doubt that there can be no doubt that the Lord Jesus Christ, true man, died on Good Friday, as all know. But he truly rose on Easter Sunday, and you proved it because you put your hands into his side. You put your hand in the place of the nails. And the sacred hand of Thomas is a hand that proves our faith. The mouth of the Dismas, the thief, proves our faith." And St. Augustine says, "He believed unto justice. He confessed unto salvation." The two steps of his baptism of desire. First, he believed unto justice. He believed that the God, Jesus Christ, is truly God, and he wants to be part of his kingdom, and his sins were wiped out. And he confessed unto salvation. He confessed to the people before him on the cross, below the foot of the cross, "This man truly is God." And then he confessed unto salvation, and hence he is able to go to heaven. Times have not changed. And to look for another answer than faith to our crisis in the world today shall fail. Where must be a return to our Holy Roman Catholic faith in its entirety as handed down to us by Christ. And what did Jesus Christ say at the end of the world? He said, "When I return, will there be any faith left? Of course, all the other virtues shall have been destroyed. But the one that he brings up is, will there be any faith left?" Of course, there will be, but there'll be very few who have that faith. Just as there has happened many times in the history of our church. Great battles in our church, such as today in our post-Vatican II world. But what's the battle? It's a battle of faith. And it is a faith alone that overcomes the world. And that we believe truly that there are three that give testimony in heaven: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. 1 John chapter 5. First epistle of St. John chapter 5. Not his gospel, but his first epistle. And there are three that give testimony on earth: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And this refers to the three baptisms, the baptism of the Spirit, which is called the baptism of desire, the baptism of water, which is the sacramental baptism, and the baptism of blood, which is to shed our blood for Christ. And he said, these three are one. We must have the Spirit of Christ's faith inside of our hearts. We can't just have it on our lips. We must have the expression of faith in our bodies. We must enter the Holy Roman Church. And we must be ready to shed our blood for Christ. And these three are one. Not everyone will be a martyr, but we must be ready to be martyrs for Christ. And these three are one. And these shall enter the kingdom of heaven by the true faith that saved them. It's our faith that makes us go to confession. It's our faith that makes us go to Holy Communion. It's our faith that makes us get married in front of a priest. It's our faith that makes us receive the sacrament of extreme unction. It's our faith that makes priests. It's our faith that makes all of the sacraments. It makes us come to be baptized. It's the faith that makes all the sacraments. And it's the faith that makes everything that we do able to lead us to God. So let us live by faith. As it says in Sacred Scripture, the just man lives by faith. And we're reminded of that holy faith on this day of Low Sunday, or White Sunday. And so and we pray for also for all the converts, those that are baptized. We had a few baptized last week. We pray for them to persevere in the holy faith all the way until they reach the time of judgment and they persevere in the faith. Usque ad martem, mortem autem crucis, see if God desires. They persevere unto death, even to the death of the cross, in our holy faith. And remember, that's the only answer. The faith says, by the Blessed Virgin Mary, consecrate Russia, and it has been done. Now we wait for the miraculous intervention of heaven. And she said, I will conquer this modern world through a miraculous heavenly intervention. It won't be through a slow process. It won't be through the good guys slowly beating out the old bad guys. It won't be through the Republicans beating the Democrats. It won't be through the conservatives beating the liberals. It shall be by the direct hand of our Holy Mother of God, miraculously intervening into this terrible world in which we live and bringing about the miraculous coercion of Russia and the transformation of the world and the victory of Mary that we await. And we believe firmly in it because we have the faith, without which it's impossible to please God. I'm going to close that. Bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. And next Sunday, we have the confirmations also tomorrow at 10:30 in the morning. Sacrament of confirmations also here. And some of the seminarians will be here with a high mass and so on. The sacrament of confirmations. And so at May the 1st, and then Father will also be back. Father Weiss will also be back. But we'll have the confirmations and the mass of the next Sunday at 10:30. Here also, and so of course invite others to come to the Holy Mass and to the receive the sacrament of confirmation. Remember, for sacrament of confirmation, of course, there's a few confirmants being confirmed the first time, but anyone that was confirmed in the Novus Ordo since 1968, when they invented the new rite, should be confirmed again. The reason is explained quite simply by Pope Leo XIII back in 1894-95 when he wrote the encyclical Apostolicae Curae, in which he explained that the Anglican orders were invalid because the Anglicans said in their ceremony of ordaining priests and consecrating bishops, receive the Holy Spirit. That was the entire form. And they did this for over 100 years. They then went back to a valid form, but by then all the valid priests were dead. So Leo XIII said, you did go back to a valid form, mentioning about priesthood and episcopacy. That's good. But the problem was, for over 100 years, you had an invalid form which said only, receive the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit is received in all seven sacraments, baptism, confirmation, all the way through, including marriage, all seven sacraments you receive the Holy Ghost. Therefore, to say, receive the Holy Spirit only, does not signify which sacrament you're receiving, and there's no way of guessing which one it is, and therefore it's an invalid form. In 1968, when they invented the new confirmation rite, they said the form, receive the Holy Spirit. That's the only form in the new rite. This means the sacrament is invalid. Secondly, in many cases, they don't use olive oil, which is given to us by Christ as a required matter of the sacrament. They use any kind of oil. It can be Crisco, any vegetable oil, any kind of oil, and therefore the new sacrament of confirmation is invalid. The modern baptisms are baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They are valid. The marriages are valid. But the confirmation is invalid. And even though it's true that the church teaches you do not have to have the sacrament of confirmation in order to go to heaven, the sacrament of confirmation is necessary to give us strength to fight strongly against the devil. And it is an important sacrament, or else Christ would not have made it one of the seven sacraments. And those who are confirmed in the new rite since 1968, they should simply be, quote-unquote, conditionally reconfirmed. And all we do is just simply come forward and get that sacrament. And then next Sunday, we do that. They can keep the same confirmation name if they wish, or take on a different confirmation name. And then those who are never confirmed should obviously be confirmed. But the new sacrament of confirmation is invalid, because according to Pope Leo XIII, over 100 years ago, when he declared that the sacrament which says only receive the Holy Spirit is necessarily an invalid sacrament. And then later on came 1968 and the new sacrament of confirmation, and it says receive the Holy Spirit. That's all it says. And therefore, anyone confirmed after 1968 should be conditionally reconfirmed. And therefore, they should receive the strength of the sacrament. So in any case, next Sunday, the confirmations, 10:30 in the morning here. And in any case, we'll close it at that again. And God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.